the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
These people, their faith is real. It's not fake. It's not, you know, artificial. So they believe, they strongly believe that the faith can rescue them, can save them. And the same with us here. Look how much pain we went through since like March last year. You know, you never heard me like complain about anything in my life, but now I have to complain. The whole year I was sitting behind a fancy desk and doing Zoom and meeting and what? This is not my ministry. My ministry is here. And you know me, I'm crazy about you and about serving you. So my ministry is not to run back a business and a company. God has entrusted me with good people like you to shepherd and to serve and to sacrifice all my time, all my life for the people. So it has been like a very difficult year for on every level and for everyone. I hope, and first, before I go, I thank God that you are here today, that you are alive. We lost Patriarch of Serbia. We lost many bishops in the Middle East, in Greece, in Cyprus, in other countries. And we lost many clergy, many fine clergy. We lost many, many other people here in this nation. It's very sad. It's very sad. But, you know, like, we don't have to see the negative only. We have many blessings also in place or taking place in our life. You know, now the positive. Thank God you are alive. That is one thing. The other thing is like, how much prayer we did together as a family. You know, we have become like mature spiritually more and more during this like trial, like or tribulation. Many people, when we check on them and whatever, so they've been together in prayer at home. And those who never had any home altar, now they have. They never stood before any of the icons and like, let's say, like to thank God for what they have. Now they are doing it. They feel that God's presence in their life, in our life. You know, we lost money in the archdiocese. We lost money. But that loss is not the most important thing in our life. We cannot cry, for sure. But when we lose people, when we lose the living icons, that is very hard on us to accept. We closed the Antiochian village, we canceled all the conventions and the parish conferences and the retreats and everything. And then, you know, like, we paid like a big deposit here and there and whatever. So that is fine. We feel bad about it like for 24 hours and we forget about it. But when we lose people, the living minds is completely different. So beloved, because today is Sunday, your Sunday, our Sunday. So that's why, you know, like Sunday of Orthodoxy means the restoration of the icons in the church. How more important, how so beautiful, like to restore you into the faith, into the church more and more. That is the Sunday of our story, our Sunday. I am so grateful to God that, you know, I've been here in the area. This is the second trip in 1 year.
This is the second trip.
And in my mind, I told them just a few days ago that I'm coming here. But you were on my mind. And I was thinking like fool. The first opportunity in my schedule, in the past I used to say crazy schedule. Now it is not crazy at all. It's boring because nothing but my time. So therefore I was thinking like the first opportunity available to come and visit you. And today, you know, I chose this special day, Sunday of Orthodoxy, to be with you, and the first Sunday of Lent to be with you. Because everything beloved to us, if we like to see it differently, it has to begin with repentance, with purification of mind, of soul, and of the body. So that's why on Friday, 2 days ago, was the first Akathist service. Now, if we look into it, we are praising the Holy Virgin all the time, from A to Z. And all the service, as you know, the whole service, it is a biblical, it has a biblical meaning. You know, all the metaphors, all the images, all the pictures we saw, and we call the Holy Theotokos the Mother of God, just like these, you know, if you read every word, you see that it is from the Old Testament. And when the Old Testament, everything was in figures, everything was in pictures. If you read every word, you see the Holy Virgin in every word there. So the whole service is biblical. It's not like I am not the one who invented that service. And when we are praising that Holy Theotokos as much as we did on Friday or every Friday, it's not like we are praising like a human being, an ordinary human being. She was ordinary. She was like a real mother. She was completely different than our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything happened to our Lord Jesus Christ was by nature. But for the Holy Theotokos, it's by grace, like all of us. We've been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Our marriage, you know, has been blessed in the church. Our life, ordination, confession, and everything we do in the church, that is by grace. Grace comes from above into us, into our life. So the Mother of God is the same like us. But she was chosen by God to be His mother. So when God chooses us, we become like her. But look, in Orthodoxy, beloved in Christ, and we said it like many times in the past, and you know it, I know that you know. It's not magic. It's not magical. It's not ritual. Don't ever think that just making a sign of the cross is fine. Don't ever think that if we say, Lord, have mercy, like not 12 times or 40 times, but 4,000 times, doesn't make any difference. If it's not coming from the whole being, the whole human being, this picture, this image of God has to pray, has to praise God. You know, now we have many, many ways of expressing our faith. One of them is music, chanters, and choir. That is one of them. And we appreciate chanters, of course. The other way is, you know, like icons. We don't say like we paint an icon. No, we say we write an icon. Because like when now we have commercial icons, we have commercial, and even in Greece, like walking on the street, you see like shops and they have icons there, like they sell and whatever. So that is commercial. But if you go to Imam study where they understand the theology, they live the theology. You know, for every like moment they move the brush or they do something, they prostrate, they read, they fast, they pray, they go for confession, they do everything with a prayer. Why? Because they are depicting, they are writing the image of God. The God who was unknown, if you like, and invisible has become visible, has become, you know, like seen. St. John of Damascus, you know, he said many, many places, like in his theology, in his teaching, he said that when God was unknown, we couldn't, you know, like, write anyhow. But now, after he became incarnate, he became real as a human, perfect human, and of course, perfect God. So now we can paint, we can write, we can work on icons, iconography. So therefore, beloved in Christ, those icons are so important now. And part of our doctrines, part of our dogmas. But how more important, again, I repeat myself, how it is more important than these beautiful living icons, looking for the salvation, looking for them to be in the presence of God, whether in the divine liturgy, whether at home, in the kitchen, at work, everywhere. God is present everywhere. You know, now if someone, you know, in the Middle East where I lived, on Friday is the holiday of that site. Sunday, optional, if like he is a Christian, someone is Christian, and they give him like 1 hour, like to become late to work, just like to go to church. So they forgive him for 1 hour, you know, like delay from work. But Friday, of course, is off. So that's why we serve the divine liturgy and we celebrate like Sunday, we celebrate that on Friday. Now with the more spiritual awareness, more spiritual maturity, and more spiritual growth and everything, now most of the churches in the Middle East, and because we live with Islam, and we live with non-Christians and whatever, so that's why you see the churches are open all week round. Not just like Sunday, 2 hours and go home. So every day we have a different service. Every day, the canons, for example, how many of the canons you know? I'm sure the clergy, they are teaching you about. We have the canon of the Akathist service. We have the canon of the Paraclesis. We do it in August, for example. We have the canon of the Holy Cross, we have the canon of Sweet Jesus, we have the Holy Angel, we have the canon for the Holy Angel. So we are encouraging people to be introduced to all these canons. Because the spiritual life, only the prayer life can heal us from any situation, from any fear, from any uncertainty, from this pandemic, from this COVID-19, from the plague, from any disaster in our life. And who can tell me, who can give me one guarantee that tomorrow will be better than today? Only God knows. So every day, when we go up, when we wake up, and we make the sign of the cross, we say, thank God for any day. This is the Christian life of God. This is orthodoxy. Orthodoxy means life, a way of life, like the way we live it. Orthodoxy is not a label. I was born one month upon a time in Alaska. I said to 600 people in the church, it was Christmas time, and I said, I am the only one who was born in the faith in this community, but I am a convert like anyone else. Means he is the one who has to convert to Orthodoxy daily. You know how many times we eat? How many times we breathe fresh air? How many times, like, we get together with the family and with friends and whatever, so the same way, we have to get together with God, we have to get together with that, the holy people all the time, all the time. So that's why there is no, you know, any gap between them and us. It should not be any space between them and us. Orthodoxy is the way of the limit. That's why, you know, like in the beginning of the fast, it is like a reminder. It is a reminder for all of us, you and I, that if we like to be true Orthodox, we have to be purified in mind, soul, and body. You know, with all our human mistakes, doesn't matter. We can make it. We can do it. And He is so loving and so merciful. He can wash everything within the second. But the most important thing is that the moment of repentance, the moment of repentance. Repentance means the Lord, because it's not like we are still a priest for confession, like 5-10 minutes, and we say, you know, we are new people. No, it's a born again. They say born again. No, this is not like that. Repentance means reconciliation between God and myself. A new life, if you like. Renewal. A new life between God and myself. Like a new start, a fresh start. Repentance means reconciliation, or like today, restoration. Restoration. You know, now 1 year, it has been 1 year since the end of this war. You know how many years the war against the icons lasted in the church? 100 years. Imagine, like, when we hear something, we gossip about it, like, maybe for a week. Until something like another thing here that comes up, you know, like, and we start like gossiping about that movie. So imagine that the community, how much confusion they went through in 100 years. Maybe one generation died and another generation born, and so that's why it took forever. Now 1 year of this pandemic, and we feel that we are devastated, we are hopeless, we are frustrated, we are, you know, like, hopeless, and so we know that you should not surrender. And Christians do not have, they have any right, but they don't have any right to be despair. So today is a beautiful day, like, to promise God. To promise God. That's the beginning of the fast. The fast is not like food and drink. The kingdom of God is not like food and drink. The kingdom of God, like, how we open up our hearts, our mind, to be with Him. To be with Him. Let us read the word of God again and again. Maybe all of you, all of us, we read the Bible like million and million of times. This is not enough to do it again. Because I am a different person than Mr. Rick. So every day we have to feel the difference in our life. The Sunday of Orthodoxy is our Sunday today. It's our Sunday. The icons, the living icons. A living icons. So important, like, to feel that you are a living icons. Because he made us in his image and likeness. And nothing important for him as much as we are in his. Nothing has importance. So love it in Christ. A little while, we have to be patient. And the pandemic and everything will be behind us. Now people are fighting over this mask, for example. People are bringing some theories, you know, conspiracy theories. You know, like, you have to be behind my desk and receive the letters every day and see what they something for me. They think that we are, you know, like, following the politics and involved in this politics, or, you know, when I, the first time I went to the White House and to the State Department, they mocked me. But now when I go, they have all the respect for me. And they are eager to learn from what I know. Because I don't speak as a politician, I speak as a man of God. So we know that Christ is not about politics, it is about our safety. It is about our safety. If we take a vaccine or we don't take a vaccine, we already put it in writing in our directives that it is your choice. We are not the government to impose anything on people. Our conscience tells us like to pass to convey a beautiful message to all the people to make the right choice. So I took the vaccine. True. But I am careful not to infect anyone, and not anyone to infect me, because we need each other, we need to be healthy, we need to be perfect, we need to be well. So that's why the apostle said, vaccine between you and your physician. If you think, but now some people take from the social media or from, they take one statement from here, one statement over here, like a Greek salad. After that, it becomes like a Greek salad. This is not the perfect way not to do it. So everyone feels that he needs like this vaccine. To be blessed, wasn't it? When I took the vaccine in 1 month, from the first day of the day, they considered me as essential, and so they got it from the first day, but it was in the market, so I. And I had all my staff in the archdiocese to take the vaccine as well. And why? Why? We're not afraid like to die. If not today, one year. And like, does it make a difference? Like, if I live like one year less or 1 year before, it doesn't make any difference. We will die. We know that. But why do we have to take a chance? Why we are around people? Why do we have to take a chance? So that's why we have to be wise. We have to be careful. Because we love the people so much, so that's why we have to be acting this way. So we have to preserve the icon of God. One priest, they remember, one priest on Zoom, like I had 400 or 500 clergy on the Zoom, and he said, "So you know, I am not afraid to die." I said, "Beautiful, what about your people?" He said to me, in front of 400 people, "Let them die." Huh? You know what I said to him? "You better shut up." You know that when he gives me like an answer like this way, irresponsible answer, what do you expect me to say? Okay, if you like to love What about the children? What about the young people? What about the elderly in the church? That maybe during the brutality time, like in Russia and like the Soviet Union, we didn't hear that. So Robert, we give a good answer when it's needed. We give good answers when they are needed. So today, not across the beginning of that, what do we have to do? Like how do we have like to live our life? What message we give to our people and to the families and to the children? What's our message? We read it last Sunday. If you like to fast between God and you. Go into your home, have the Lord, and pray to your Father who is in heaven. And when your Father who is in heaven sees you in private, in secret, the Bible tells us in secret, he will reward you in secret. You know, here we are not like, we don't need our doors and windows and gates and whatever. No. It means like you close the doors of your mind. You close the doors of your heart. Don't think of anything when you pray. Don't be distracted with a million of things. Don't think of food. Don't think of pandemic. Don't think of the archbishop. Don't think of who is in charge of this government. So just like go and shut your mind and open up to God, only to God. So this is what it means. Now this is the time of orthodoxy. Okay, I am Catholic, Orthodox, and whatever. Let us humble ourselves. Let us forgive ourselves. So that's why last Sunday was Sunday of forgiveness. A special day, a special practice, a special Sunday, a special moment for forgiveness, because forgiveness is the key for everything. If you don't forgive me, you suffer. If I don't forgive you, I suffer. Two sisters came to me. Two sisters. The first one, they were gossiping to each other. The first one said to me, I tried to reconcile to her, but she won. I said, what about you? Why don't you go to her and reconcile? She refused. I said to the other, why don't you reconcile to your sister? She put the other blame on the other. So I said, right, you have to start from somewhere. The one who forgives, he is free. He is free, pain free. He is like full of peace, full of joy. He feels like he is very light. But the one who is not forgiving, he will carry all the burdens and all the pain and he suffers or she suffers. So we love in Christ. This is the beginning of man. We have to forgive ourselves first. We have to forgive the people around us as well. This is one of the Christian virtues in our life, forgiveness. If you don't forgive, if I don't forgive, I am not a Christian. Like if I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, doesn't make any difference. But if I am forgiving, I am a different person, like the angels. So that's why when the Holy Spirit told us, because she was forgiving. She was in our suffering. She was quiet. She was in prayer all day long. And she was in fasting all day long. So that's why he chose her to be his mother. Let us give him a chance to choose us to be his. So today is so full of blessing for all of us, for me in particular, me, you see. attention. You know, now our after this pandemic, I told the clergy, I heard that our ministry will be more complicated after this pandemic. Now it's easy. We don't see many people in the churches. Everything on live stream, on Zoom, on whatever. We are not dealing with their problem. But after we heal from this pandemic and we need to go back to the church, you will see, you will remember my words. I said to them, we need to train our people to run and you how to go back to the church. Here you don't need it much. But somewhere else, like when in Southern California, in New York, in Washington, D.C., in Boston, in one of the big cities, like they say, only 10%. In Canada now, they went back to 5%. Yeah, they are very strict. So in the churches now, we see like 20%, 25% the most. But when, you know, like people got used to it now, to see everything, to watch everything on live stream, while they are with their pajamas, for example, and they go and they watch the priest and everything. So they don't have to make any effort to come to the church. But when we go to normal, so we will see that they will face a serious problem. So thank God for everything, and at the end, I thank God for this priest. How do you like him so far? I need this honeymoon to come to school. So he is one of the best. He is my choice for healing. I was planning to, he didn't know, I was planning to have him as the second priest in the Cathedral of Los Angeles. But when everything took place here, so I changed my mind and I sent him. I love this man there for you. And three boys, four. So four boys. They are, you can't imagine, they are not afraid of coming to greet me and they hug me and they, you know. And he will be my future deacon. You're practicing now, huh? Someday before I fall. So I greet our virgin, Father Thomas, as the dean of this area from California, and he is serving with me now all the time here. I appreciate that. I greet Father George. Father George was a great help with all the legal issues in like this church or that church. And thank God for Father Tom. What is he? Lindsay. You look wonderful. You look like younger than before. And I'm glad to see that good man. I love you because so you are so honest in your personal life and Richard, Deacon Anthony, and Deacon Antonio, we have to understand, and Deacon James also. Deacon David. Yes, of course. Are you settled, right? This is our life, like one day flood, one day, like who could tell you like what happened in Texas, the cold, the wave, and the cold weather, you know, like they never have seen there. So it happens. Everything is changing in this life. But one thing will never ever change, that God in our life will never ever change. So we have to adjust, we have to make every possible adjustment in order to accept Him in our life. The only one who cannot change. So, beloved in Christ, you have all my love, all my prayer, and all my support. I am away from you, but for you. mind, but you are in my mind, you are in my prayer. So pray for me as well. I need your prayer as well. Pray for the archdiocese in general, because we have many challenges. Now, after closing the interpreting village, as I said, now we have to go back, and we are allowed to open, reopen the interpreting village after losing so big money, so big people, like we lost the camps. We have 70 camps also, in what we are not able to go back to the full capacity. So we are trying to start again. And the organizations that ECs and convention and symposium and the board of trustees, I had the board of trustees twice so far from Zoom in May. Just like to keep connected. So it was not easy. So let us say, you know, all of us, may our merciful God have mercy on us, on this nation, on every single person, on the hierarchs, on the priests, on the clergy, on our loved ones here and abroad. And this nation needs His mercy more than anything else. And many changes, as you see in the government, like many changes took place, something like for good, something for more complicated, but that is their business, they are doing their business, but we are doing our business by praying for them and good for God, that you will grant them strength and wisdom to lead us. So this nation is divided, and the government is doing its part, and let us do our part as well, in prayer, through prayer, and in repentance. You know, many, especially President Abraham Lincoln, like 1 month upon the time, in his beautiful homily, lectures and speeches, he said, "Let us pray in order for others to be." Like if you hear that with his voice, or you read it, and I don't tell you like who is saying that, don't you think that one of the fathers of the church, like he said. So that's why, again, let's repent, let us fast with repentance in order for others to